Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. Welcome to mysummit.tv, Summit Church's online campus. I'm excited to have you all here. And when I say you all, it's because, of course, we are all online this weekend versus being in person. Beginning next week, we will have smaller, more intimate, we're calling them cafe-style in-person gatherings. I'll tell you more about that this week. You'll get an email with sort of a video introduction to what we're doing, and you can find out all the good information about that this coming week. But hey, happy Thanksgiving. Can I still say that? That was this last week, and hopefully you were able to gather with some friends and family and spend time together and reflect on God's goodness in your life. I'm going to talk actually more about that in just a second. Have you ever heard the term half-life? Maybe you have, especially if you took maybe any sort of science or chemistry in high school or college. Half-life is, I'm going to give you a few different working definitions of what half-life actually means. And the reason I'm going to talk about this for a couple minutes is because it's relevant to what we are talking about in our hypocrisy series. And so half-life in physics means this. It's the period of time that it takes for half of the atoms of any amount of radioactive material to disintegrate. That's kind of where the term originally came from. It's the time it takes for half the atoms of any amount of radioactive material to disintegrate. That's half-life in physics. In pharmacology and in medicine, it is a brief period of time. It's the time required for the activity of a substance, say ibuprofen, taken into the body to lose one half of its initial effectiveness. So if you take 4 ibuprofen and in 2 hours it loses half of its efficacy, its ability to do what it's supposed to do, it's got a 2-hour half-life, okay? And then in informal terms, it's a brief period in which something flourishes before dying out. So half-life is a time in which something is doing really, really well right before it starts petering out. And I think we're all smart enough to sort of realize that not everything in our life goes on forever unless you continue to feed it life. Like we kind of joke around our house about how plants never really do that well. There's very few. Lisa's very proud. There's a plant that's up in our master bathroom, believe it or not, for some reason. I don't know why we keep it there. But that plant is flourishing, and it's really one of the rare occasions in our house in which a plant actually does well. We just don't seem to do well taking care of plants. It's any wonder that our pets and our children have survived as long as they have. Apparently, we do a little bit better with them. But things in our life, things that matter, they won't grow and they won't stay alive unless you continue to feed them health. And honestly, our kind of attitude of gratitude, our heart of thanksgiving and being grateful, that doesn't last forever. It doesn't even usually last for a very short time following Thanksgiving. It sort of feels weird, like on Christmas, man, December 26th, I'm kind of starting to take decorations and everything down because I kind of feel like it's weird to celebrate something after it already happened, right? We had a Thanksgiving dinner with our family on Saturday instead of Thursday because we had some projects going on at our house and we couldn't do it. And it kind of feels weird when you do that. It feels like that thing's over. So when it comes to Thanksgiving, it feels like we build up with this attitude of thanksgiving and gratefulness, and we're just so thankful, and we take November and we reflect, and then we have Thanksgiving and we gather and we talk about what we're thankful for, and then the half-life begins. See, that thing was flourishing, that heart, that attitude of gratitude was flourishing, and then it sort of dies off, and within about a week, we're back to really complaining and whining about whatever's happening in the political world or whatever's happening with COVID or whatever's happening with our kids' schools or whatever's happening with work or whatever's happening with our taxes or traffic because of the holidays or our in-laws or our annoying neighbors and so on and so on. It doesn't take long for the half-life of gratitude to set in. And while our gratitude and other good things in our life seem to have a very, very short half-life, they seem to start fading out very quickly, it seems that the ugly things in our life, the annoying things in our life, the troubling things in our life, the sinful things in our life, the toxic things in our life, the contaminating things, the sinful things in our life seem to have an almost infinite half-life. They seem to last really forever. All the things that make us a hypocrite, that don't line up with who we want to be and who God's created us to be, somehow those things just seem to hang on. We can't seem to kill those things off. We have to feed life into the good things. We have to constantly babysit the good things in our life. Do you ever notice that you don't have to be intentional about weeds growing? Weeds will just grow in your yard, but grass, you have to fight to keep it alive. You have to water it, and you have to make sure it's getting not too much shade, but it can't be out in the sun too long because it gets scorched, and you've got to fertilize it, and you've got to aerate your yard. The good stuff in your life takes all of this work and attention, and the bad stuff seems to never want to die. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm just going to go through a couple things that are going to help us do two things. Number one, increase the half-life of our gratitude, of our attitude that helps us recognize how good God truly is to us and why He's good to us, and also exponentially shorten the life of our hypocrisy, all the things that separate us from being who we claim to be, being who we want to be, being who God has created us to be. Sound good? All right, well, pull out your notes, open up your app if you don't already have that done, and let's begin together. Man, I'm glad you're here today. I'm grateful that my hypocrisy won't last forever when I remember that, number one, people are depending on me. When I remember that people are depending on me. So a couple years ago, the church at our 10-year anniversary as lead pastors got us a trip to Orlando to go to Disney World as a family. And we were just absolutely so thrilled and excited to do that. We were going to get to spend some time with some close friends of ours, and we were going to get to kind of hit up all of the major theme parks, right, while we were there. And of course, you can't have a good Orlando vacation until you spent several days and multiple thousands of dollars at Disney World. And so we did that, of course. We are big Disney fans, and so we went there. But we really made the tragic mistake of going to Epcot Center and going on a ride called Mission Space. And if you've ever been to this, you know that it is not actually a ride. It is this device created and designed by some sadistic and demented sociopaths to somehow torment the people who go on this ride. If you don't know what it is, each person is, you get inside of a space capsule, right? With three other people. So it's you and three other people, and you're crammed into this very tiny space capsule, and you're given these responsibilities in which you need to do during this flight so that it goes successfully. And if you are, it's really not even designed to be fun at all or enjoyable, and I'm going to tell you why. It's meant to really punish you for being stupid enough to stand in line for a few hours so that you could go on this thing, and somebody in a control booth, I guess, gets to watch you nearly vomit. And here's why, because it doesn't operate like a roller coaster. It doesn't go up and down and all around, and it doesn't go back and forth. It doesn't give you any real variety. What it does is, now listen, it spins you so fast that it actually creates 2.5 times the gravitational force of the Earth's gravity. And if you don't know what that feels like, I don't encourage you to find out. It is the most miserable, terrible experience that I've ever had in my life, because I'm going to tell you where you feel all of that G-force. You want to know? In your stomach. And it literally felt as if, pardon me, All of my organs were getting ready to come up through my throat and come out my nostrils. It was the most uncomfortable, terrible, nauseating experience that I've ever experienced in my life. So I thought, okay, here's the deal. We all have tasks and jobs to do. Maybe this is so miserable, the centrifuge spinning us around, creating this G-force experience of going out into space. Haha, I thought it was supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable, but it's terrible. So I thought, maybe we can stop this. Maybe we can accelerate through the G-force by all successfully doing our task. And no matter how hard we worked at our assigned responsibilities, no matter how many buttons we pushed, and no matter how many joysticks we turned and lined ourselves up, no matter what we did, it didn't get any better. And I realized that none of them were going to help me. I couldn't rely on any of them to make this go away. And here's the worst part, I couldn't do anything either. And you think, what is the purpose of this story about your horrible experience on Mission Space? And here's what it is. Some of the things you do in your life aren't really going to impact anybody. Truth is, there are some things you do that aren't going to have a positive or, for that matter, a negative impact on the people around you. But most of what you do, listen, I'm going to say it again, most of what you do is shaping and influencing people around you to the degree that it will matter in their life, and you as a follower of Christ, it will matter eternally for them. Let me say that again. It will matter eternally for them. Some people will either come to know Christ or come to know a very corrupted, perverted version of Christ because of how you and I act, how you and I talk, how you and I relate. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:3. It's going to be on the screen. We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord by the way we act, so that no one can find fault with us and then blame it on the Lord. Did you hear what that said? I know that this is the era in which we try to be provocative and we try to be offensive and we don't care if we offend anyone and we're going to take a stand and we're going to stand up for what we... Listen, did you hear what the Apostle Paul said is the appropriate behavior for followers of Christ? You and I live with an intentionality that we don't want to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. We don't want to live in such a way that we might keep somebody from actually discovering who Jesus is, that we might live in such a way that they blame us for bad behavior and then fault it to God and say, if this is what a Christ follower looks like, I want nothing to do with him. I don't want to be responsible for keeping people from Jesus Christ. People are literally counting on us to find Jesus through us. Listen to what Jesus said himself. Here's the good news for you and I. Although we can keep people from finding Jesus through our bad behavior, we can actually be a light that points people to Jesus. This is Matthew 5:14 through 16. You are the light that gives light to the world. You are the light that gives light to the world. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. And people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand so the light shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that people will see the good things you do, the good things that you do, and will praise your Father in heaven. Listen, be sorry for the times that you didn't point people to Jesus. Be sorry for the times that you gave Jesus a bad name, a bad reputation. Be repentant of living in such a way that people were distracted from the goodness of who God is. But then leave that behind and listen, don't let your past hypocrisy keep you from being a light that points people to Jesus. Start living your life in such a way that you do good and people understand how good Jesus is because of how good you as a follower of Christ are. Number two is this. I'm grateful that hypocrisy in my life won't last forever when I remember that all my hard work is paying off. Don't you love it when hard work pays off? So we're in the middle of a couple big, I think I may have even mentioned this already, a couple big projects at our home. And some of that I'm having other people do because I don't know how to do some of the things that we're having done, or I don't know how to do it well enough that I could be proud of that work afterwards. But I thought I would take on one project that I thought I can't really screw this up too badly. And here's what the project is: completely reorganizing my garage. I know that there are a lot of guys who take pride in their garage. The garage is sort of like the first original man cave, right? That's where we go out and we work and we move tools around and we do stuff out in the garage. And so I wanted to have this really cool garage I could be proud of. And so in order to do that, I had to get some new cabinets and some racks and things like that to help me organize the garage. And so what I did was I ordered all that, and that was waiting to be set up. And I had to tear out everything that was already in the garage. I don't think maybe I realized how much was really in there. So we had steel racks on one side and steel racks on the other, and they were just stacked with totes and containers and boxes. And I pulled all of that out. And then I put in these new storage racks and these new cabinets, and it looked great. And I started filling them up, and I put all this different stuff in there. And then when I turned around, all of the clutter that was there before was still there. After 4 days of working from like 9 in the morning till 6:30 at night, not only did it not look more organized, did it not look better, it actually looked worse. At least before, everything was up off the floor. Everything was in a rack or a shelf. Everything was put away. It may not have been as organized as I wanted it to be, but it didn't look too bad. Now, it just looked like complete chaos with new cabinets. That's all it really. So after 4 days, I think I actually made the problem worse. I stood there and thought, what am I doing? I haven't made any progress. None of us wants to spend time or energy working on something for a long time and then seeing no progress. We get discouraged. We want to give up, and we kind of tend to want to walk away from that. And that's exactly what it feels like when we are taking on the things in our life, the projects in our life that, listen, we've been dealing with for years. I mean, the stuff that you're trying to overcome, haven't you been trying to overcome that for quite a while now? Haven't you been working on it for a while? I mean, most of the things that hold us back, the things that disappoint you about yourself, the things that frustrate you about yourself, the sins that annoy you that you keep doing, you've been doing them for years, right? And so do you ever just go, this is it? This is as good as I get. This is as good as it gets for me. I don't get any better than this because I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, but I don't seem to be making any progress. I want to encourage you with some scripture and remind you to keep working. Proverbs 14:23 says this: prosperity comes from hard work, but talking too much leads to great scarcity. So listen, that actually probably is mostly talking about finances and money, that if you want more, you've got to work hard to get that. And I think that that's true. You can't just sit around and say, I want this and I want that. Well, you have to work hard to get things that you want. But do you think that that's somehow not a spiritual principle, that if you really want to hammer away at the thing that makes you a hypocrite, that keeps you separated from your values and who you say you are and who you believe you are and who you believe God's created you to be, but who you actually are, you want to close that gap? Do you think that hard work isn't going to pay off? It is. It's just that sometimes we work and then we kind of sit down and we stare at the mess that we've made and we give up too quickly, too often, and too soon. Hard work is always going to produce results. I have to tell you, I joke that I made it worse, but the reality is I'm closing in on this being fine. I'm actually getting ready to spend an afternoon with my brother-in-law who's going to come over and help me put these ceiling racks up. And once that's done, I'll be able to put the final bit of clutter up there, and I will have the garage that I set out to have, it's taken a lot longer than I thought it would. Honestly, it was much harder work than I thought it was going to be in my head. This was going to be an awesome experience. I was going to get in there, bam, 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 knock it out in a couple days. It's just taken far longer, and it was a lot harder work, and it wore me out. And truthfully, there's a couple times I wanted to just give up and throw everything away. The reality is, I didn't realize how much stuff I had that I didn't need, that I needed to let go of. And that was painful. I thought, well, I could get money for this, and I could do this, and I can. You see, those were all the things that I was just holding on to because I saw some value in them, and all they were doing is adding clutter to my life. Proverbs 16:3 says, whatever you do it as to service to Him, and He will guarantee your success. Whatever you do, do it as service to Him, capital H, that's God, and He will guarantee your success. You see, you and I find value in things that God doesn't see value in. And we don't see value in things that God sees as the most important things in our life. So when you align your values with God and you say, I'm going to do it for Him, I'm going to work for Him, God is going to add to your success. It's like calling in my brother-in-law to help me with the racks. When you are doing it for God, God joins His power with your efforts, His might, His strength with your efforts, and bring success. Third and finally is this. I'm grateful that my hypocrisy won't last forever when I remember that God is not finished growing me. Listen, you're not working on you alone. As a matter of fact, God's working on you harder than you are because God sees greater value in you than you see in yourself. God loves you more than you love yourself. At the time when you love yourself the most, believe it or not, God loves you even more because He sees how He created you, who He created you to be. God sees you through the filter of how He created you to live your life. And He's not discouraged or dissuaded by the mistakes, by the missteps, by the sins of your life. Listen, this is what Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Philippi. He said, I'm confident that the Creator, capital C, God, who has begun such a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. Listen, there is so much here, but I want to just pull a couple things out. I want to show you something. Number one, God created you for His highest and best purposes and plans. God created you. You're not a mistake. You're not simply the offspring of your parents. You are the offspring of your parents, but you are destined by God. You are created by God. You are willed into existence by God. And He created you for perfect purposes and perfect plans. So no matter what you've done so far, know that God's plans and purposes are still the same for you. Listen, even though you and I have corrupted God's plan with our sin, with our disobedience, none of His plans and purposes have changed. He began a work in us, creating us in His image, and He's not dissuaded or distracted by any of the things that you and I have done that feel like it has taken us off path. No doubt you and I have stepped out of the will of God. No doubt you and I have made mistakes that have paused God's good work in our life. No doubt that our sin keeps us from God's highest and best. But can I tell you this? That God's plan has not been erased, that God's plan is not vague now where it was specific before. God's plan is still specific for your life, and it's still within reach for each one of us because you're God's amazing design. He's not finished fixing you. What's broken in you, God is still working on. He's not finished shaping you. You see, even if you were not sinning, even if you were not disobedient, God is still molding you and shaping you and forming you into His perfect and glorious image. That's what's amazing is God always meant for us to look like Him, to think like Him, to act like Him. And so God is in process of making you look more like Him, making you think more like Him, making you act more like Him. And that means there's going to be seasons of correction. There's going to be seasons of pressure. There's going to be seasons of change. There's going to be seasons of just grace and rest, but God is not done with you. I want to tell you that the best of you is still yet to come. Sure, you're a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. Everybody you know is a hypocrite because none of who we are today lines perfectly up of who we're supposed to be, of who God's created us to be, of how God created us to live our lives. Much of what you do and much of what you say stands in complete contradiction to what you say you believe about God and what you believe God wants for you. So yes, you're a hypocrite. You can wear those t-shirts proudly. I'm a hypocrite. I know I'm a hypocrite. But don't you want your hypocrisy to have a half-life? Don't you want that half-life to be as short as possible? Don't you want to be able to look and say, listen, this garage is still a mess. My life is still a mess. But man, look at how far I've come. Look at how much God has done in my life, and I'm excited about what God's going to do next. Listen, there's one day I want you to retire that t-shirt, to be able to take it off, put it in a closet somewhere, and only let it be a reminder to you that you were once a hypocrite, but no longer. Billy Sunday said, you don't need to go looking within the church for hypocrites. You can look at the bank and at the store and look anywhere, at school, at home. There's hypocrites everywhere. Look in the mirror. That's where you're going to find a hypocrite, but then be one less. Be one less hypocrite. And that's my prayer for you, for me, for everybody, that through the power of what God started in us, He'll be faithful to complete in us, and we participate in God's glorious work of redeeming us, of shaping us, of molding us, of changing us. Can I pray that over you in this last message of this series? Can I pray that for now you can wear that shirt, but one day we're going to believe that the half-life of our hypocrisy is shortening, and what was alive in us, what was thriving in us, that hypocrisy that was so alive in us that it's actually dying off in us now. Father, thank you for every single person that is joining us in the online campus today, that whether they are routinely at home or they've been at our on-site campus, that they feel connected in this moment, that we all share the brand of hypocrite, that none of us line up our values and what we, our stated beliefs, our stated faith, none of that lines up with who we are perfectly, or we would be perfect. But what I am praying is that we don't give up, that we don't get discouraged or dissuaded from continuing to work hard, because our hard work actually does pay off. We can acknowledge that we have stepped in our own way, that we get in our own way, that we are the cause of getting off the path that God's prepared for us, but we can also recognize that God's not done with us yet. And that should excite us and encourage us and inspire us to continue. We have control over how short this half-life is to our hypocrisy. We get to decide by how hard we do work, by how hard we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. We get to decide when we get to retire this shirt and when we don't. So we pray in Jesus' name that you would continue your good work in us, that which you've started, that you'll be faithful to complete. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.